Thank you for being here. I apologize. I always last minute touches that, you know, you probably know, we are all perfectionists here. I'm not, but last minute thing. I'm going to talk today about the long-term crop rotation experiments that we have. I'm trying to see the effect of rotation and tillage on greenhouse gas emissions in Illinois. Very different systems than the previous that Dr. Vigil was showing. Wait, I need to. Sorry, no. So a brief overview of what I've been talking about, covering a little background on the greenhouse gas emission, how this project came about, the objectives specifically for what I'm going to be talking today, what we did, some results, conclusions, and what are the next steps. Now, this project came about part of a rotation tillage study that Dr. Nafziger, we have some co-author, Gevan Benke, Stacy Suber, two PhD students under our direction, and Dr. Nafziger, he's not here today, but you can listen to him in the afternoon. Dr. Nafziger is one of my best mentors at the University of Illinois. When I became a faculty there, we see possibilities of collaborations right away. He's the supervisor of most of the research centers, and he has been very clever at establishing many long-term experiments, the effect of rotation and tillage. And his main focus has been yields, because he has extension appointments, so he's constantly addressing the needs of the producers in our region. He's a corn specialist, corn and soybean specialist, actually, for our state. So when I became a faculty in 2009, he saw the possibility of starting studying soil, because that's my background. I'm an agronomist and soil scientist, and I also have a love for statistics, so it's a perfect combination with with his field background. Also a year later, we got awarded, Iowa State, Dr. Lois Morton got awarded this CAP grant by USDA, $20 million, and Dr. Nafziger and I became the proud Illinois representatives for this effort. And they saw the beauty and the benefit of having this long-term experiment as part of this CAP grant. Dr. Lauer manages similar or bigger experiments in Wisconsin, and that's one of our next steps that I want to be talking about, is putting our data together, our legacy. Okay, so focusing specifically on what I'm talking today, you know, management practices, crop type, tillage, residue and nitrogen fertilization all affect the soil physical and hydrological conditions, leading to greenhouse gas emissions. And we need nitrogen. Specifically, I'm going to show you a little about our region, our production levels. We need nitrogen. It's an essential nutrient for agricultural production, so we add it as a fertilizer. Yet, nitrous oxide emissions from agricultural soils account for 69% of all nitrous oxide emissions in the U.S. And nitrous oxide is 300 times has 300 times the radiative force per mass compared to carbon dioxide. So this is a little background of what have been the cropping history in Illinois. If you go back to the 50s, we have very nice, diverse rotations with oats, hay, wheat, and corn. Once soybean entered in the picture and started being, we saw that it's a very good combination in the rotation with corn. So practically nowadays, when you're in the 2010s, we are saying half and half corn and soybean. This is, in acres, but it's about 5 million hectares of each, dividing most of the agricultural land in Illinois. So this is more concrete numbers. You can see now there's also, due to the spike in prices, most producers are looking for ways to increase the number of years of corn in the rotation. So we have an increase in the monocropping of corn. The corn following soybeans has decreased slightly, and the corn following others has remained very consistent. But there's a trend toward including more corn in the rotation. A shift had occurred in management also from that period. What we see conventional tillage now, now there's more, it used to be modal plow in the 50s, now it's more chisel plow, vertical tillage, and towards more conservation tillage. Again, another picture of a trend. There was a peak for no-till here in the green line, but then we saw our yields with no-till are not as good, are consistently lower under no-till. So no-till started to become an option. So after soybean, you do no-till, and then after corn, you put tillage. It's seen more as an alternative or not something that you get to be stuck with. So we have a conventional, more reduced till is a common thing. So what we see is that the literature will say that switching from conventional primary tillage to conservation or no-till systems will mitigate greenhouse gases. I have a list of bibliography at the end. There's cumulative emissions under no-till also were observed to lower greenhouse gases compared to conventional tillage. And with corn, well, continuous corn is thought to emit 2 to 3 times more emissions than conventional till corn, soybean, wheat rotation. However, the important point here is that most research on greenhouse gas emissions in Illinois and in the Midwest have focused on effects of corn rotation and tillage separately. And also, few studies have been conducted on long-term stable systems, and that's also a disadvantage when you measure greenhouse gases. You tend to overestimate in many cases. So the objective specifically for this talk is to show the results that we did to determine the effect of rotations and tillage on greenhouse gas emissions, nitrous oxide, CO2, and CH4, and methane after 15 years of management. I'm going to tell you a little about the sites. This site is in Mammoth. It's in the Northwestern Illinois Agricultural Research and Demonstration Center, about 8 kilometers northwest of Mammoth, Illinois. These are molly soils formed under prairie. These experimental plots were established in 1997. These are very rich soils, high capacity of accumulate water, high yields even in dry years. These are the plots from an aerial view from Google Maps, so you can see the different rotations. We have 3 different orders, but all molly soils, Muscatoon, silt loam, silty clay loam, and silt loam. And this is all we did so far. There are no, like I said, these experiments were established to follow the effects on yield and the different rotations and tillage. So we don't have, like, original 1997 soil samples, but, like I said, we started doing soil samples as we became part of this CAP-integrated look at the corn-based systems. It's a very detailed protocol that was organized by Dr. Lewis Morton and all the team. We have, for the full profile, physical properties, chemical properties, greenhouse gas emissions, and also soil properties just in the top 10 centimeters where we are following these greenhouse gas emissions. And that is what I'll be talking about today. Some more of this project is going to be presented by Stacy, my student, in one of the posters. But we expect, hopefully, someday we will have so much yielding from these plots as you have, Dr. Bigel, in your area. So this is what we use, and when I say we, that means my students. But Gevan Benke is my lab manager and left brain. He's very good at organizing all this, and Stacy helps a lot, and all the students. So we use chambers in corn, following the protocol by Baker. So we use one chamber in the row and one in between the row for each of the plots. Soybean and wheat, just one chamber base per plot. And the greenhouse measures are taken at intervals of 0, 10, 20, and 30 minutes. And then processed in a gas chromatograph machine with an electrocapture detector that Lowell teaches us how to use. Lowell is over there. How we calculate it, like I said, I'm going to present, then if you have questions, I'm going to refer them to Gevan or Stacy. But this is the machinery. And this is, since this has become part of this corn-based CAP grant, we were focusing on measuring on the corn phase of the rotations. So how is the experiment? What is experimental design? This is a split plot, a randomized complete block design with four blocks. We have a main plot that is a rotation and a corn, soybean, and wheat in every present, the phases are present every year. And there's a subplot, till and no till. The conventional tillage is chisel. It's not the moldboard plot, it's chisel plot. Now, like I said, the focus was on the corn phases, so we, since we have a limited number of chambers and capacity of the machine to operate with, then we focus on the rotations that have the corn phase present, and we measure two more just to see what are the contrasting plots. Here, I don't see the continuous soybean, but we have the continuous soybean too, and soybean corn. I'll show you more detail in a minute. So this is how the plot map, an example, this is for 2012. We keep, we go back to the same plots following the rotations. And those are the size of the plots. They change every year, of course, the crop. But they're highlighted also what are the rotations that we involve. Okay, just to rest assured that we are dealing with similar soils. We have, we conducted texture for all the plots at all the depths that we are being investigated, and you can see it's a very tight cluster, silt loam, silty clay loam, more in depth. Very nice, so we're not comparing, you know, completely different things. Okay, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to show you the results, the partial results for every year, but then I'm going to highlight how this was actually analyzed with years as a random effect and with repeated measures to, take the most value out of the data that we have. And you'll see what I mean when I present all this. So what you're seeing here, at the very top is the precipitation. This is 2012, remember 2012, right? Very sad year, drought, right? The precipitation is in the top plot in centimeters. You have some peaks here at the end of the season. But basically the temperature was also above average throughout the season, very hot year. We have, what I'm plotting here, we have the mean nitrous oxide flux in micrograms per square meter per hour. And you can see when the wheat was fertilized and the corn was fertilized and the corresponding peak that occurred in the nitrous oxide emission. Now, this crop was not using the nitrogen as efficiently because of the drought. So there was a lot of nitrogen still remaining, and the next it coincides. The next peak coincides with the a rain event. That's why you see two peaks. This is the cumulative nitrous oxide emissions for when we look at the corn phases at the in black, at the soybean phases in red, and wheat in green. Those are the cumulative. Again, follow clearly the peaks of fertilization and the rain event. This is for CO2 emissions, some similar pattern, same year, right? We can see 2013, the pattern was very different. We have a very wet spring. We started planting later than usual. A lot of water in the profile, and then stop raining for 2 months. But these soils had very high water capacity, so the crop was one of the best that we have had. So again, the same thing with the fertilization. Come little peaks for corn. They are more important. This is nitrous oxide. The cumulative is the most evident effect of corn in the phase corn of all the rotations. This is CO2, similar effect. We have here too, the fertilization. And for corn too, you have, it's a little delay in time, but it's the cumulative show, again, the effect of the corn. 2014, we came after one of the worst winters in Illinois. Wheat didn't grow. Wheat didn't survive. So we are done with wheat there. Again, we started planting a little later. Corn fertilized at that time, there's a peak. Cumulative emissions, there it is. For CO2, very similar to the units change, and those are the average for the corn and soybean phases. Now let's look at the combined years, and that's why I like to slow down. In nitrous oxide, many times we see the needs transformation of data. We did a logarithm transformation. It turned out to be beautiful. This is the kind of preliminary analysis of data that you want to see. So the analysis is conducted, the statistical analysis is conducted on transformed data, logarithmic transformed data. But here I'm presented for interpretation, for easiness of interpretation, the nitrous oxide. In the original values of kilograms per hectare. Now, there was every year, I have to say, every year you're going to say, well, you put it all together, that's going to be mixed up. No, every year was very consistent. The results were very consistent, even if I was looking just at 1 year, 2012, 2013, separated. So by year or all year together was consistent. The results are the same. And the most important result here is that we have a rotation by tillage effect, an interaction, but the highlight point is that the tillage only matter when we are talking about continuous corn. When we are talking about continuous corn, we have a strong effect in reducing the nitrous oxide emission when we put no-till. Okay? That happens only with continuous corn. Any other rotation, we don't have the no-till here, the rotations corn soybeans, or even looking at the soybean corn phase or continuous soybean or winter or wheat corn soybean, tillage didn't make a hint. Okay? And that was true for nitrous oxide, but also you're going to see for CO2. That was very, shocking, I think, for me to see this kind of results. But also the nice thing is that the results, after putting 3 years of data, all these rotations, they were very strong. So there's not much I can elaborate. So CO2 also needed transformation, a logarithmic transformation, and I have to say the same. Results by year or all years together were similar, but I want to highlight that results with using the years as a random component are more are stronger statistically, and also this uses repeated measures, saying that we go back to the same plot to measure this. So that allows your data to be clean from all the noise and the confounded effects and all that. So that's why I think that's my belief that we see such a nice clean results. So CO2 also needed transformation. We did it. Look at this. This is the CO2 mean emissions. There's absolutely no effect of the rotation. The p-value was 0.5. Of the tillage. What we have is a very strong rotation effect, and again, continuous corn soybean, and corn soybean wheat. Whenever it's corn in the rotation, we have high CO2 emissions. That's related to the inputs of fertilizer that we have. Now, if we have continuous soybean or wheat, corn soybean, then the CO2 emissions drop to about half of what we have with continuous corn. Very clean results. So, cumulative nitrous oxide emissions from continuous corn in tillage situation, again, is chisel till, had the largest emissions over the 3 years, so average over the 3 years, and second was the corn soybean wheat tillage till. But there were no difference among them. So, corn soybean wheat and continuous corn in till situations were the highest. So the corn was the main crop to blame, if you want, for the greenhouse gas emissions compared to soybean and wheat in each phase. We saw that. Tillage increased the cumulative nitrous oxide emissions only under continuous corn. There were no differences with till or no till for all the other rotations. CO2 emissions, the cumulative, were not affected by tillage options within rotations, but rotations with more corn had higher emissions during the corn phase than during the soybean or wheat phases. Methane efficiency, I didn't show them because they were not different at all by year or with the years combined among treatments. That's common in our systems, dryland systems. So what we're seeing is, again, more benefits of the rotations. As we lower the number of years of corn, the greenhouse gas emissions are mitigated due to lower fertilizer inputs. Chisel tillage does not increase the cumulative nitrous oxide emissions in rotations as it does in continuous corn systems. And tillage had no effect on CO2 emissions. You see that very contrasting system to what Dr. Vigil was showing previously. So what's next? We're going to bolster the data set by continuing to sample greenhouse gas emissions over more years. We are we're going to try to put together our data sets with Dr. Lauer at the University of Wisconsin and better model these greenhouse gas emissions. And again, this data is going to become part of this USDA CAP database to better model corn under different climatic conditions in a sustainable manner. So I want to again acknowledge Dr. Emerson Napsiher, who set up these plots and is the leader for all the crop rotation and tillage experiments that are established around the university. Gevan Benki, our lab manager and my left brain and hand. Stacy Suber, PhD student working in this project. There are a lot of soil properties. She has a poster this afternoon. Rachel, Iva, Molly, Joe, Juan, all the students working and helping. Josh Jason, Jay Tyler, and Bob too. A farm crew at Mammoth, very, very helpful. Undergrads and interns, we have been able to form a lot of people under this project, and that's my role to continue this project into the future. So this is funded through the Cropping System Coordinated Agricultural Project, but it's been funding before that with the fertilizer checkoff money from the state. So we're really proud of that too. So thank you for your attention, and I'm right on time. So. Questions? Yes.
So normally you would think that a no-till system is more reduced. You have a more reducing environment. So you in continuous corn comparing no-till versus conventional till, but your N2O is higher in the more oxidized system. How do you explain that?
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. Can you repeat the question? I'm going to repeat the question. What is your name? Sorry?
Gary Herbert.
Roger?
Gary from Nebraska.
Gary. Gary from Nebraska. Your question is that you are expecting to see, you have more reduced conditions on the no-till, right? That's what I said. Yet you are having more emissions on the till. Is that your, that's again. Yes, and that's again only in the continuous corn. Okay? Let me put that. So why is that? I'm not an expert on these greenhouse gases. N2O, right?
Yeah.
I'm not an expert, and this data is new. As you see, we're showing 2014 data too. But I can throw some ideas here. What we see in the till and the no-till has more reduced. We have an effect. We need to still analyze this, right? But what we see always, and this is probably related to the movement of that UAN in the soil. It's so contrasting. I don't know. Gevan, do you have any idea?
I'm not exactly sure why it's higher under the till, except that the tillage introduces more oxygen, which will allow the nitrification and the nitrous oxide. More oxygen? Or what?
More aeration, I believe, right? Like,
doesn't more aeration promote nitrification? Yes. I'm not exactly sure why.
But we have, sorry, yes. You want to relate?
May relate.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, totally. The crop is always in the field.
Okay, so do you think your treatments would be, do you feel like you'd have the same response to your treatments if you were sampling year round?
But we want to see the effect of the crop in the rotation. Any idea the expanding?
It's all related to temperature. So as it gets colder outside, the emissions are almost zero. And we sampled in a corn. It was just corn, but we did it for a cover crop project, and the emissions were almost zero.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they were going to...
The cumulatives won't change.
The cumulatives affected no. by a few points in the summer when it's really hot, when there's rain.
Yeah, and with the addition of nitrogen fertilizer. Yeah. Yes?
I have a question about... it looks like you're just measuring soil respiration. Did you somehow quantify biomass production or photosynthetic sequestration of carbon during the growing season to kind of counterbalance the net, or in other words, to find a total net effect of carbon emission versus carbon sequestration?
That's part of Stacy's project. We are doing it just not, and we have yields too. We are starting with the biological. I mean, all these take a lot of effort, a lot of people, a lot of money. So little by little, we are incorporating all the different aspects. The good thing, and I think that's why I was invited here by Eric, is that these plots are already stabilized in many. So we are not dealing with first-year plots. These are plots that have been in place for, by the time we started with these, 12 years already. So I think the results are solid. They may be shocking, they may be surprising, but they are there. In our soils are very fertile, are high in organic matter, but they also, we have very wet conditions in the spring, normally. So that's why our issue with no-till, that it tends to keep the soils too wet, too cool for a long time. So farmers switch to something that they can maybe break a little, you know, like strip deal is being more favorable now. So
one last question in the back.
In the corn, could be because you are adding too much nitrogen in that the crop needs.
More than the crop, I tell you, this land is God bless land. We have high yields. Even in the drought year, it was a yield of 180 bushels, 12 tons. So it's very high yielding conditions. So we think that by the, and we do soil sampling for the nitrate in the profile. So except by the year 2012, we don't believe there's excess. There's only a small amount of nitrate remaining in the fall after the crop harvest.
Do you have a 40-pound differential? You put 40 pounds more nitrogen on your no-till than your till? Can I see that?
A bit. I don't think so, because we use... Yeah.
Somewhere I thought I saw a 40-pound differential. The conventional till, the conventional, or continuous corn has more than the isolated.
That's the difference. That's the difference. With continuous corn, we put more. Yes, yes. But again, I mean, I'm not pretending to know everything. This is data that is fresh. That is a new area for me to explore. That's why we have Gavin. He is his master with greenhouse gases in Miscanthus. So we welcome him in the team. I can learn from my students. You know, I love to learn from my students. So, but he didn't want to talk to me. I say I'll do it. But we hope in one more year have 4 years of data, so we can do a very nice manuscript and his thesis, his PhD thesis.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't know.